Back with you here on Sports 1140 KHTK. It's an absolute pleasure to be joined by the former standout Raider quarterback, many years in the NFL. You hear him with Kevin Harlan on CBS. That's Rich Gannon. Rich, it's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. But you just had a chance to see Deshaun Watson up close and personal. I mean, I don't even know where to begin other than wow. Tell me what jumps out at you when we talk about Watson.
I think the big thing with him is his patience and his poise. We spent a lot of time with him on Friday and at practice and then after practice, and it's just he's a really charismatic, just a really nice young man. You're excited to see him do well. He's a winner. I mean, you look at him back-to-back national championship game appearances when he's at Clemson. You look at him, he makes a lot of plays, and he's not a finished product. I mean, I think the thing that he does really well is he makes plays on the move. He's got great speed and quickness, and they've really tailored the offense around what he does well, and that's some quarterback movement. They run the option, the zone read with him, and those type of things. But I'll tell you what, he was impressive. He had an unbelievable performance against the Tennessee Titans.
In that same game, Tennessee, Rich, Mariota goes down. They sign Whedon. Tennessee looked to be at 2-2, maybe taking a step forward. Now this is a step back. Can Whedon come in and maybe, stem the tide? Or what do you see with the Titans now?
I don't think that – I mean, I'm assuming that Matt Castle would get the start, although he was awful, and I think he's nothing more than a stopgap type guy. They're not the same team without Marcus Mariota, and if they can't run the football, they're in trouble. They're kind of young at the wide receiver position. They've got two rookies on the roster. They want to throw it to the tight end, Delanie Walker. But Mariota was the guy that made it all go, and his ability to, obviously to run with the football and extend plays, those type of things, are a lot like Deshaun Watson. But without him in the lineup, I mean, they're in trouble. I mean, they need to run it. They want to run it. Obviously, they've got two really good backs in Murray and Martin. But they've got to be able to run the football. If not, they're not equipped to throw the ball 35, 40 times a game.
Rich, I want you to take me inside the Raiders locker room right now. The high expectations this year through four games, they're two games back, and now Derek Carr is going to be out anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks. They have not been able to run the ball at all the last 2 weeks, and now you got E.J. Manuel. Talk about them keeping this thing together and weathering this storm.
Yeah, they're getting tested early, and I'm not surprised. I didn't think it was going to be a cakewalk for the Raiders, but, the offensive line hasn't played well enough, and that's a surprise because that's really – they spent a lot of money and resources on building that group up front. The running game has been hit or miss, and, you look at them, and Marshawn Lynch, for people who think he's going to come in there and be a 12, 1,300-yard rusher, that's not – look, he's not going to get the touches that he got in Seattle. I don't think he's the same back he was early in his career, but he does serve a purpose. I mean, he can be a finisher. He can do some damage in short yards and goal line situations. I think they need to lean on the running game more now that Derek's not in there. But everybody's got to play better. I mean, they're not the same the last 2 weeks. I mean, third down's been a huge issue. I think they're just 2 of 23 on third down and not converting third downs. Crabtree didn't play last week. And right now when you look at Amari Cooper, he's not separating. He's not winning the one-on-one battles, and that's a problem. So E.J. Manuel – we know about him in terms of his struggles in Buffalo. They're going to have to help him out. If they ask him to throw it a bunch, that doesn't bode well. He's going to have to rely on the running game a little bit more than they would without Derek Carr.
Rich, Grant said take you into the locker room. I want you to take me into the huddle. After your quarterback is getting sacked the way that he is, this offensive line isn't producing the same way it was last year. You just said they're going to have to produce for Manuel. How are they going to come together, and what things are you seeing that's deficient that's not there this year that was there last year?
Well, I don't think it's any one guy. I think Jack Del Rio said that today, and I agree with him. I don't think, you say, it's the – this guy, I mean, first of all, they've got good leadership on that group. They've got some toughness. These are veteran guys that know what to do and how to respond. And I think they all have to play better collectively. I think that, you look at the running game, they've got to crank it up to a respectable level. They need to get healthy in some key areas, including getting Crabtree back and Derek at some point. I don't think Derek, I mean, again, I'm guessing, But knowing him like I do and as tough as he is, I don't think he's going to be out 6 weeks. I think it's probably closer to 2 or 3 weeks, and that will help. But, you know, in the meantime, they've got to rally around E.J. Manuel. I think this team will. I think they've got good leadership. And, you know, you're right, though. It starts with the offensive line. They need to set the tone. They need to come out and play the chip on the shoulder and get after some people and run the football a little bit and take the hits off the quarterback.
Yeah, speaking of quarterback, they got Baltimore coming in this week, and Joe Flacco's been awful the last few weeks. Now, of course, we know he didn't play in preseason. They were just dreadful over in London against Jacksonville. They were flat at home against Pittsburgh, which is hard to believe. And now they come out to take on the Raiders. What's going on with the Ravens?
Grant, they're like a lot of teams in this league. I mean, you look at the Patriots. They got the number one rush, the number one offense in football, and they're dead last in defense. I mean, everybody's dealing with something, right? And we talked
sure.
about the Raiders' concerns, and I think the Ravens are no different. You know, they've got a good defense. The offense right now is unwatchable, and really it starts with the quarterback. He didn't play well last year, and he missed all of training camp. He had a back, and it's a lot like Cam Newton. You don't practice, you don't play well at that position, and he has not played well. He's been through, you know, really studied Flacco. He's had a lot of different changed coordinators around him over the last 6 or 7 years, and that hasn't helped. They're just struggling right now. You look at the running game, they can't get that going. They've had some injuries to deal with. He likes to throw the ball to the tight end. That's where he wants to throw the ball. You got some young guys there in Boyle and Williams, but, you know, right now they just look out of sync, and it really starts with the quarterback. He's missed a lot of time in the preseason.
Rich, I think there's probably a lot of surprises, or maybe not a lot, but a few surprises in the AFC. One of them in the East being the Bills at 3-1. Are you buying in? I know the Patriots are 2-2, and they'll probably turn things around. Are you buying into what you see in the Bills?
I am, and I did a couple of their games earlier. I actually did them week one and week two, and so I got a chance to spend a lot of quality time with them. First of all, I think Sean McDermott's the real deal. I mean, he's brought some structure and discipline and accountability to an organization that sorely needed it. And then you look at them. I mean, this is a team that's committed to running the football with LeSean McCoy and Mike Tolbert. They do a nice job of that. And even Tyrod Taylor is in the mix when it comes to running it. The thing about Tyrod Taylor, he's not the greatest passer, but he doesn't make a lot of mistakes, doesn't turn the football over. They've got a pretty good offensive line. Not great at wide receiver. They got a very serviceable tight end in Charles Clay. Defensively, I think, is where they've really improved. I mean, they've got some guys on that side of the ball that can rush the passer. They're better on the back end. They went out and got Micah Hyde from the Green Bay Packers, a safety who can play anywhere in that secondary. Drafted Tre'Davious White, and they went out and got E.J. Gaines in a trade. So, I mean, they're better on defense. They were already pretty good on defense, personnel-wise. So they play good defense. They're sound in the kicking game. They commit to running the football, and they don't turn it over. I mean, that's how they're going to win games this year. And question is, can they win enough to make the playoffs?
Rich Gannon from CBS joining us. Rich, I saw you last year. It was at the Timberwolves game, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, gosh, you know what? For the folks in that city, finally, you got something to be excited about. It's been a long time since Kevin Garnett played there. And I'm looking at the Timberwolves, and I'm like, man, that could be an exciting team this year.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't get a chance, Grant, to go to a lot of the games, but when I do, you know, I love it, and I want to see them do well. It's been, you know, look, they've had, you know, that's another organization. They've had so much turnover, not just with the roster, but with the coach and in the front office. There's been some change, and they just haven't been able to get it right. And I hope that, you know, this is a young team. They've got some good pieces in place, and I'm hopeful that they can be competitive once again.
Have you been a big NBA fan most of your life?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Philadelphia, so I was a big Sixers fan. I was a big Dr. J fan growing up, and, you know, they won a title, and I was Daryl Dawkins and Bobby Jones.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And all those guys. So I grew up a Sixers fan, and, of course, I played basketball when I was growing up. So, I mean, yeah, I love it, but, you know, it's been hard. Honestly, the best basketball team we have in town is the Minnesota Lynx. We've got a good – our women's team is – our women's team may be able to beat our Timberwolves.
You know, Rich, what was your position? You kind of strike me as a small forward.
Yeah, I was. I kicked the ball a little bit. But you know what? I love the game. And, of course, Grant does a terrific job. Kevin, and there's some great voices in the NBA. And it's fun to watch. And it's here. It's basketball season is at our doorstep.
Hey, before we let you go, you and Kevin have Jacksonville and Pittsburgh this week, I believe. I look at the Steelers, I look at that division, and I'm like, okay, they're still the team to beat. What do you like about Pittsburgh right now?
Not a lot changed offensively. It's still the big three. It's Ben, it's Le'Veon Bell, and it's Antonio Brown. That's a dynamic offense. They can spread the ball around. I think the back is one of the best in football. I mean, in terms of the running game and the passing game, and then defensively, I mean, they're the number two defense in football, number two in scoring, number two in pass defense. I mean, they're really talented. They've got playmakers. Where they're better is, I think, in the secondary. You know, last year they went out and they drafted, a couple of young players that played a lot in their rookie years. You know, you think about Artie Burns, and he I thought, you know, he had a good year last year. And the kid I really like is Sean Davis, the safety. But then they go out and you get Joe Hayden. I mean, what were the Cleveland Browns thinking about letting Joe Hayden go?
Unbelievable.
And not only that, but he goes to Pittsburgh.
Right, yeah. Unbelievable.
He'll probably win a Super Bowl, you know, with the Steelers. That's crazy.
Rich, as a quarterback, does it bother you or would it bother you what you saw with Antonio Brown? Obviously, Ben Roethlisberger kind of put it to the side, the little blow-up that he had, the missed pass. Would that bother you at all?
Yeah, it would. I mean, yeah, I don't think you ever want to show up your quarterback. I don't think that was his intention. He was frustrated. Look, he had four catches for 35 yards. That's very uncharacteristic for Antonio Brown. He is a big play receiver, and he wants his touches, and he knows he can be a difference maker. But you know, Ben never saw him. He actually was running a little under route, and he came backside, and he was wide open. And
yeah,
if you watch the film, but Ben's eyes are in the flat, and the read took him there. And so, you know, that's something you got to get worked out on the sidelines. But he's an ultra competitive guy. It's not going to be a huge deal for the Steelers. But I'm sure that, you know, Ben and Antonio Brown had a conversation.
Rich, it's always great catching up with you. Keep up the super work. Hopefully we'll see you at a basketball game. And if not, we'll talk to you down the road. Be well. And again, we really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Scott, for having me.
Thanks, Rich.
That's Rich Gannon, CBS Sports, joining us right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.